Well, on Friday, we usually turn left, but this week we're going to turn left and right.
All your NASCAR news is here. Time now for the Loose Lug Nuts with Clint Wright and Jacob Bassett.
Well, we did the best thing we could do. We cooked the old piece of meat Sunday and watched the race, all three of us together. I guess the first time we've watched the race together since Giddens fell asleep on us last year at Daytona. But Clint Wright in with me. Jacob's got some details he's got to take care of this Friday morning. But NASCAR full swing, two races in. Clint, your opinion? I just don't see how the racing could have got much better than what it was Sunday.
Talked to multiple people, and that's the best racetrack on the NASCAR Cup Circuit down there in Atlanta. It is spectacular.
Yeah, and of course, what'd they say, 52 lead changes?
52 lead changes in 400 miles. And it wasn't just, I'm going to just barely edge your nose. I mean, it was full on laying two car lengths back, get a run, make a pass, and do it all over again the next lap. It was just excitement the whole time.
You know, at Talladega, I remember in years past a bunch of lead changes and stuff. But when you get down to these super speedway or restriction plate tracks, whatever your draft tracks, whatever you want to call them, you do have a lot of lead changes, but I would like to know how many passes were actually made on the track yesterday. Now, there's no telling.
Probably double or triple, I'm sure.
I mean, it's just we had a lot of lead changes, but passes in general, we saw – well, I mean, let's talk about, Joey Logano came from the back to the front twice and passed a bunch of cars. All of a sudden, you look up at the end, and here's the winner of the race, Christopher Bell, who hadn't been really in the top eight all day long. But to me, I tell you what, there were some unsung heroes Sunday, Clint, that had really good runs. I thought for a minute again that Austin Centric was going to get it done.
Penske Racing has just been phenomenal at Daytona, at Atlanta. I expect the same thing at Talladega. Those blue ovals may not be my favorite, but they stick together, they don't abandon ship, they work well together, and they got some horsepower, buddy.
Blaney again with another good run. I think we're going to see him have that all year round. Surprises or disappointment takeaways from Atlanta?
You look up and Denny Hamlin wasn't really there. I mean, he kind of cracked the top 10, but you never saw him. You never saw him out in the wind or up the top two or three positions, really. I hate it for Larson. He has a lot of problems at these super speedways. He can do the mile and a half and the short tracks and the big ovals, but he struggles at these, and he almost snuck one out last Sunday night, but just still can't get it done.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. Let's talk about some bad luck. Is Brad Keselowski, has he got a bullet on his back or something? I don't know. There's two races in a row now. And what about my pick for the race winner? Hometown boy, Chase Elliott. I'm not going to say he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but he didn't do anything wrong.
No, he was just on the outside of three wide, and the two below him kind of got a little loose and run up the track and into him. And poor Brad Keselowski's five rows back and T-bones Chase, and just there was a lot of dejection at that point in Atlanta. There's no doubt.
No doubt about it. Well, we're going to come back here in a minute, and we're going to talk about what actually did or did not happen in Atlanta. We'll talk about Christopher Bell. I chose him 1 week too early, I guess. I chose him to win Daytona, and he ends up winning Atlanta. So we'll see what happens, and then we're going to talk about the race that's coming up this Sunday. Might be a snooze fest at my house. Last week, Jacob and Clint and I talked about how different Atlanta has evolved over the years. And to me, Atlanta is a track where the changes they've made have obviously made the racing better. The banking, the flipping it around, I think. And of course, a lot of turn, just – the way the track was paved newly a few years ago, and now, I mean, I tell you, they haul the mail on that track, and when they get three and four wide, you better look out. Something's going to happen. And but really and truly, Clint, there wasn't as many cautions Sunday as I thought there would have been.
There was a lot of whoopsidents and almost, but there wasn't as many accidents as you think there should have been. But you talk about the racing in Atlanta now, and I've been to Hampton, Georgia, where the Speedway is, and it's been some ho-hum races. There's been some, you know, lap half the field and some 5-10 second, you know, leads. But truthfully, you go back, Atlanta's historically always had great finishes, not just last year with the new reconfiguration, but Bobby Labonte and Dale Earnhardt, Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon,
yep,
Carl Edwards, Jimmy Johnson. It's gave some of the best finishes in NASCAR even before the reconfiguration, and now it's just ramped up tenfold.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to tell you this, too. A lot of people don't understand NASCAR. It is the only sport that I can tell you where when you win, you're in. When it comes to playoffs, now we've got, what, 35, 36 races, something like that, I don't know, all the way to November, but already you've got William Byron and
Christopher Bell.
Christopher Bell that are already in the playoffs pretty much no matter what happens. No other sport is like that, but I'm going to ask you, I believe it's simply because of the parity and how hard these races are to win.
There's so many lasers and rulers and, you know, preventative measures that NASCAR uses to make sure there is no cheating or outside the black and white. It is just clear cut. These are the parts you have. This is the specs you get. And if you're a millimeter, a pound, anything off what they say, you don't race. Or you get fined and you lose hundreds of thousands of dollars like Briscoe and Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, and I just believe that, too, these guys are willing to do just about anything to win because, let's face it, back several years ago, and especially in the 90s, there was really roughly a handful of guys that really had the shot of going out there and winning. But we saw some names up there Sunday afternoon.
Carson Hocevar was in the middle of all of it.
Absolutely.
I liked what he said Sunday night. Now, he may have ruffled some feathers and been a little too aggressive at times, but he's a young kid trying to go for a win. I understand his mentality. And he said, look, we're out here to win cup races. We're not here to make friends on the playground. So I thought that was a pretty neat little spiel from him.
Absolutely. And guys that normally go off, and I don't mean this to be, you know, I like Kyle Larson. I thought his comments after the race were very good. He kind of halfway took blame for part of not winning that race. Me and you, we talked about the banter back with NASCAR. They, you know, when they declared the winner and when they are. But my biggest thing was when they threw the yellow flag, and they didn't the week before.
Saturday night in the Xfinity race, they didn't throw it. Sunday, they threw it. Last week in the duels, they threw it Thursday night. They didn't throw it Sunday in the 500. There's no consistency. Yeah. Such good racing, but we need to take care of these drivers. If there's an unsafe condition, we need a yellow flag. But don't show me what I think is supposed to be unsafe and then next week say it's safe.
Right.
Let's be consistent about this.
No doubt about it. We're going to talk about COTA. If you don't know what that means, we'll tell you what it stands for here in just a minute. And in the fourth segment, we're going to have our picks. If you don't know what COTA is, that's COTA, that stands for the Circuit of the Americas.
Oh, I thought that was government alphabet soup, but it's Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah, well, okay. Alphabet, they don't even make alphabet soup anymore.
I miss that.
I do too, and throw a little rice or a little hamburger meat in there with it. Boy, it's pretty good.
Well, all right, so they're going to Circuit of the Americas. It's in Austin, Texas. The Formula One race cars run there also. It's become a very popular kind of caught on the scene here over the last couple of years track. And it's 95 laps, 228 miles, and it'll be on Sunday at 2:30 on Fox.
And that's left-handed turns and right-handed turns. And I got to ask you to kind of explain to our listening audience here. I want, and you don't have to get all of the X's and O's and bolts and nuts and everything, but what they raced in the first 2 weeks in speedway cars, totally, totally different than what you'll see. Now, the car will look the same, but it's not set up nowhere near.
No, you're going to need to be able to turn and accelerate. You got to have good brakes. We didn't worry about the brakes very much at Daytona, and we didn't worry about them much in Atlanta, just maybe to sneak on pit road. But you will be on those things. They will be glowing hot. You need traction out of the corners for speed, and you need to be able to slow down, turn safely, and power off.
You know, and Clint is not talking about brakes as far as getting the good luck or getting the bad luck. He's talking about that brake that you use in your car that stops the car. I saw, who was it one time? I think it was Hutch Strickland, as a matter of fact, went through one of the turns at Watkins Glen, and when he reached the turn, he had no brakes. He went straight on into a wall of tires, and it was a massive hit. If you don't think they're going fast around these road courses, you better check up.
That's scary, and I've seen Jeff Gordon, Bubba Wallace, maybe one more have gone into turn one at Pocono with no brakes, and that may be the scariest sight in all of NASCAR.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you this too. You talked about the brakes. You're talking about your pit crew's got to be good, but to me, these road courses, the one thing that I think you must have, it don't always work out that way, but track position and qualifying is imminent.
Qualifying, pit selection, track position throughout the race, and you have to pit and strategize for track position.
And the reason for that is because how hard is it to pass?
It is so difficult for, you know, you put somebody like maybe a Chase Elliott, somebody that you see do really well on these style courses, and you throw him back in 30th, it's going to take him all afternoon to get to the front. Where if you've got somebody that started up in the top 10, didn't make any mistakes, pitted on time, they're going to be a mile ahead of them by the time they get halfway into the race just from doing the right things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm anxious to see who my man Shaggy has as his picks. He gave his picks to Clint, and, of course, I'm anxious to see how Clint did. Was anybody of us – now, I know I had Centric and got wiped out with that last wreck. Was anybody close to winning or
Yeah, you
shot?
Wrecked my long shot, Barry, buddy. At the same time, in the same wall.
Well, but our other picks kind of went out with that same wreck.
Kyle Busch tried. He ran near the top two or three for most of the afternoon. Then when it got time down to about 10 or 12 laps, he kind of got shuffled out of the mix.
I don't think he waits to race 36 to get a win this year. I think it's coming quick.
I hope not. It would be good for NASCAR. NASCAR needs that.
Absolutely. We'll talk about our picks and who we think Coda's going to have in victory lane when we come back. All right, we're going to ring that old victory bell in victory lane at Coda out at Texas this week. It's not the Texas that you're thinking about that looks like Charlotte. It is the road course out there, Circuit of Americas. 90 how many laps?
95.
And after 95, I'm going to let you go first, and then we'll get to Jacobs. First of all, your winner after 95 laps.
I believe in this thing called Big Mo, momentum. Christopher Bell got his first win on a super speedway style track. You know he can run good at the mile and a half, so he can run good at the short tracks. I think this Sunday Christopher Bell proves he can run good on these road courses too.
Wow. Okay. Now, who did Jacob – I just about got an idea, and I bet you he's not an American.
He's not American. He took the Rook. SVG, or for those of you keeping score at home, that's Shane Van Gisbergen, and he's Australian, and he made his noise a couple of years ago at the Chicago Street Course, come in, beat all the NASCAR ringers, and Jacob says he can do it again.
Well, of course, I'm going to go with somebody I'm just going to throw it out there, Tyler Reddick.
Solid pick.
I think he'll be in the mix, at least anyway. Your long shot for the race.
Well, first I'm going to give you Jacob's long shot.
Okay.
And I respect this one a lot. Michael McDowell has always traditionally run good on these road courses. He's in the Spire Motorsports car now. And That's Jacob's long shot. So getting to my long shot, I'm going to take a guy in Christopher Buescher, RFK Racing. He runs good at Sonoma, you know, the old Sears Point style. He's made some good runs on these courses, and I'd like to see him do it again.
Well, you know what? I was actually going to take Chris Buescher or one other fella as my long shot. I'll throw this out there. When's the last time you've seen a Wood Brothers car in Victory Lane?
I'd love to see it.
I believe it might happen.
Love to see it.
Josh Berry.
Well, the last time the Wood Brothers car was in Victory Lane, we were at your house watching the Daytona August race.
That's right. That's when old Giddens fell asleep.
It was, and Jeff Burton gave a Tiger Woods fist bump up there in the press box when his son come across that line in first place.
Absolutely.
That was cool to see.
All right, this Sunday, COTA at Texas, Circuit of the Americas Road Course Race, 95 laps. It'll throw the green flag at 2:30 Central on Fox. See you next week on the Loose Lug Nuts.